It's tuned to yesterday broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levanier. In this hour, adventure. Later on, we hear espionage on The Man Called X with Herbert Marshall, but right now it's The Adventures of Frank Race. Here now, an episode from November 6th, 1949, their 28th show in the series, called The Adventure of the Six-Week Cure, with Paul Deboeuf, Tony Barrett, and Charlotte Lawrence.
And now we join Frank Race for The Adventure of the Six-Week Cure.
Reno, Nevada. A simple city like any other American city. But one made notorious for its gambling clubs and for harboring the sickest people in the world. The temporary home of would-be divorcees taking the six-week cure from the ills of marriage. You could see their strained white faces on the streets and in the restaurants and the clubs. The faces of women not quite sure what had happened. Not quite sure why they were here. Not quite sure where they were going tomorrow.
You know something, Race? All my life I've been hearing about gay divorces. But the babes around here do not look so gay to me.
There's nothing gay about a marriage that doesn't work, Mark. For most of them, this is the bitter end of a sweet dream. That's never fun.
Yeah. Well, leave us not stay around to be poor parents, huh? You got your business for the insurance company all cleared up. Leave us. Get back to New York.
What's your rush? We can take a little vacation. Some great fishing in the mountains here.
Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. Not with me. I remember the last time. I got more hooks into myself than I get into the fish. Besides which, I wind up eating nothing but bread because it is the only food we have which don't have bones.
All right, Marcus, you win.
Besides, I'm not so sure that you'd go fishing.
What do you mean?
There is a dish sitting at that table over in the corner, and she has been making passes with her eyeballs ever since we come in here. And she ain't no trout.
Where?
Huh?
Oh, it's Olga Petrov.
You know her? She's coming over.
I most certainly do know her. Olga, baby.
Race. Oh, Race, I wasn't sure it was you.
Olga Petrov, if there's a better ballerina in the world, I've never seen her. She moved with infinite grace, and your heart left your body to walk beside her on stage or off.
It's been so long, Race.
Paris, just before the Germans took over.
You left without saying goodbye.
Boris was jealous, remember? And with good reason. I was beginning to fall in love with you.
That's nice, Race. That's very sweet.
Oh, excuse me, Olga. This is Mark Donovan, my very good friend.
Hello, Mr. Donovan.
Oh, baby, sing it again. Hello.
By the way, how is Boris?
He's fine.
He's here with you?
He's here, Ace, but not with me.
Don't tell me that you're...
Yes. I'm here for what you so quaintly call the six-week cure. Divorce.
I'm really very sorry to hear that.
Where are you staying, Ace?
Well, we're really not staying. We came in on the plane this morning to settle a claim. We're going right back.
Ace, please stay for a little while. I'm in trouble, desperate trouble. I am staying at a Dude Ranch 10 miles out on the highway. There are accommodations open.
Mark will drive us out. We can talk it over on the way. What went wrong, Olga? I know you didn't take your marriage lightly.
I guess I am a war casualty, Race. Even at this late date... The ballet is ruined temporarily in Europe. They can't support it. Not on the scale Boris demands. They can barely find food.
I know.
So we came to America. You know Boris. You know how he likes to live, like an emperor. He found somebody to finance a tour.
Patron of the arts?
I would hardly say that. He was financed by a man named Joe Rockland.
Big Rocky the Hood, financing a ballet company?
That's right, Race. Big Rocky, as you call him... He's in love with me.
And he's forcing you and Boris to split.
I wish that were so. If it were, we could run away. But it isn't. There is another woman.
Another woman? Boris must be blind.
He isn't in love with her. At least, I don't think so. But she's very wealthy. That's an attraction Boris cannot resist.
Want to tell me who she is?
Fran Maitland.
Wilson Maitland's wife. She's still married.
She's here too, Race. Getting a divorce. We are all what you call one big happy family.
She started to cry, and I put my arms around her. She wasn't meant for tears, not this baby. Her perfume was taboo, exotic like everything else about her. Even if Fran Maitland had all the money in the world, Boris Petrov was a chump to give this up.
I'm sorry, Rafe. All I know about dancing or life, I learned from Boris. He has been all things to me. I don't relish the thought of being alone.
I know. And you're going to find it difficult to be alone with Big Rocky after you. Very difficult. The Bar XXX Dude Ranch was very much on the sedentary side so far as the guests were concerned. The most strenuous activity seemed to be the lifting of cocktail glasses. But there was nothing sedentary about the owner of the ranch, Ma Westcott. She was pressing 70, but doing it the hard way. This gentle old lady, believe it or not, could sit on a Mustang like Roy Rogers. She could also pilot her own helicopter.
Understand you're something of a flyer, too, Mr. Race.
I've never been checked out in a helicopter.
It's good for keeping the herds in sight. Most ranchers think I'm crazy, though.
It's something new in range riding. They'll come around, Mrs. Westcott.
Maybe you'd like to come with me someday and see how big this ranch really is.
Anytime.
Good. Get you away from these crazy females for a while. Women oughtn't to be without their men, folks. It makes you mean.
Paul, I've been looking all over for you.
It's my son, Boz. What do you want?
Oh, that fool woman, Mrs. Bryer, ain't back my ride yet. She must be lost. Someone ought to go find her.
You were supposed to go with her.
Well, I had other things to do.
Sure. Shining up to that Fran Maitland. Now, I told you to stay away from the guests.
Now, don't go yelping at me. You're coming or ain't you?
I'm coming. Excuse me, Mr. Ray. I'm going to close down this guest.
Old girl's quite a character, ain't she?
He spoke from just behind my left shoulder, but I didn't have to see his face to know him. Joe Rockland, Big Rocky. Hardly the type to be calling anybody else a character. I turned and looked into those small black eyes. He was wearing a bow tie, and if it had been the kind that lit up, it would have spelled murder done cheaply.
You getting a divorce, Race?
I'm not married, Rocky.
Order several kinds of divorces. Sometimes a guy gets his arm broke. That's the kind of a divorce from using it anymore. And sometimes a guy gets tired of living and signs off. You could call it a divorce.
What you say and what you mean aren't the same.
You're smart, Race. I sort of feel there ain't no reason for you to be in Reno.
I'm a friend of Olga Petrov's. She's playing a tough hand. I want to stick around until the cards are counted.
Boris and me can take care of that. I don't remember inviting you to my wedding.
I'm coming anyhow, just to make sure there's no shotgun pointing at the bride.
So you really did come for a divorce. The tough kind. Well, from now on, I'm your lawyer. Gonna handle the whole thing for you. Starting with a broken arm.
Afraid you're even gonna supply the arm, Rocky.
Let me go, Reese.
All right. Go. Now get out of here.
I'll see you again, fella.
I'm sorry, everybody. We're old friends. He gets playful.
You think you're pretty good, don't you? Huh? Big man. Tough guy. Just like my husband.
Sorry to evoke unpleasant memories, Mrs.
Mrs. Towner. Mrs. Robert Towner. But you can call me Sylvia. Because you're just like him. Just like my big, tough husband. What's your name?
Race. Frank Race.
Huh. Share of yourself, aren't you? Just like Robert. You're just a man. Just another heel. I'll be rid of him in another week. What do you think of that, huh?
Congratulations.
I'm lonesome. I don't like to be alone. I'm almost 30 and I don't like it. I gave him 10 years. Now I'm alone.
You could go back to him, Sylvia. Ever think of that?
I don't think of anything else. But I can't. You know why? He doesn't want me back. Because I had him arrested for hitting me. And I should have killed him.
You better come outside. People are staring
at
you.
Why do I care? I'll come out.
Now get a grip on yourself.
Take your hands off me.
Stop it. You're getting hysterical.
Take your hands off me. Let go.
All right.
I never want to see another man again as long as I live. Give me that horse.
Yes, ma'am. Well, Dave, you seem to have lost your way with the ladies.
Oh, hello, Boris.
Olga told me you were here.
Olga told me a lot of things, too. What are you setting her up for?
We are getting a divorce, that's all. That should not disturb you. You are very fond of Olga. Of course, you may have some rough competition this time.
Don't be a fool, Boris. That girl never looked at anybody but you. You've been her whole life.
She will find another life, just as I will find another one.
With Fran Maitland, your new life might be more interesting than you think. More interesting and less peaceful.
Is that so, Mr. Race?
I hadn't seen her come around the end of the ranch house, but suddenly she was there. A striking woman of 35. Everything about her was reckless. Her face, her figure, the way she wore her clothes. I had met her once before, investigating the loss of some jewelry. And once met, Fran Maitland was not easily forgotten.
Let's hear your theories about life with me, Mr. Race. It might brighten my day. I've been bored.
That's your trouble, baby. You get bored too easily, and it takes a new man to snap you out of it.
Mm-hmm. Are you volunteering, Race?
For a silence like this, I never volunteer.
I do not like your attitude, Race.
I do. I love it. I'm finding you more and more intriguing, Race.
Don't try too hard. I don't fit into your collection of oddities. I'm not an artiste like Boris, and I can't match Buzz Westcott's drawl.
What do you mean by that, Race?
I'll tell you what he means. He means I've been riding with Westcott while you've been chasing after Sylvia Turner. She's younger than I am, Boris, darling. But she doesn't have any money. Her husband won't settle a dime.
Well, I can see you two lovebirds have a lot to discuss. Excuse me. Mark and I had only one interest, keeping an eye on Olga Petrov, and we avoided the rest of the guests until night came. It was Ma Westcott who broke up a dull evening for us by taking us for a ride in her helicopter.
I do this every once in a while at night, check up on Rushden.
You know, I don't see how you can spot him from up here.
Got a powerful spotlight. Just have to shine it down when I see something suspicious going on. Can see part of the herd up ahead there. You see him in the moonlight?
Oh, yeah.
When we get over him, we'll light up.
Hey, what a gimmick, huh? You think the Texas Rangers would give up their ponies and learn to fly things like these instead, huh?
I'll hang right over him now. Turn on that light, will you, Race?
Sure.
Look at that. That ain't scared or anything seeing a light from way up here.
Mark, they're used to a thing called the sun. It comes up every morning.
Yeah, you're right.
Wait a minute. Look, there on the other side of the herd.
It's one of our horses.
Yes, and he's saddled.
Hey, he's standing by something. What is it?
I don't know, but we better go down and find out. Ma Westcott set the helicopter down, and we walked around the herd to where the horse stood. The animal was nuzzling the thing we had seen on the ground. It was the body of a woman. I knelt over her. A pointed branding iron had been stabbed through her throat. It was Sylvia Towner, and she was dead. Sylvia Towner had had her last drink and her last heartache. Mark stood guard over the body while Ma Westcott and I flew back to the ranch house to call the authorities. There wasn't much to be done, so I went to the cottage to turn in.
Don't go in, Race. It's a nice night.
It was Rocky again. But this time he wasn't playing it on the physical side. He was using science. The science of a deadly automatic. It produced the desired chemical reaction. It dispelled my inclination to ignore him.
I figured we might take a little walk down the road. I got a car there. We could take a spin the night air. Who knows? Might give you pneumonia.
Or lead poisoning?
Yeah, that's a possibility. You're a cinch to catch a fatal disease.
Like Sylvia Towner?
I got a theory about her, Race. I think you killed her.
I think I can clear myself.
You and Sylvia had quite a beef today. You were trying to get romantic in broad daylight, and the dame had to scratch you up a bit. Boris told me.
You spin quite a yarn.
Well, it gets more interesting.
Go ahead.
She rides off. You wasn't around all afternoon, so it figures you followed her.
I was in my cottage.
Yeah, but the cops won't know that. You followed her, see? You was mad about them scratches on your pretty person.
Whom?
You blew your top and killed him.
You ought to change your brand, whatever you're smoking. You can't sell that to the police.
Oh, I ain't finished. I'm coming to the best part.
Goody.
You went for a plane ride, and who spotted the body? You. That is something a guy always does to cover up. Only after the call for the bulls goes out, you get nervous.
Yes.
So you hop into your rented car, which I have down by the road. You drive out to a lonely spot. Then you take this automatic, which also happens to be yours. I just lifted it. And you blow your brains out. Neat?
Very neat. But there's one weak point.
Yeah? What?
Your chin! Give me that gun!
Sure, here!
Missed again. Come on, let it go! Into the bushes, Rocky!
Race, what is...
Somebody with a long-range rifle trying to get into the act. Keep low.
Give me the gun back so I can blast.
Who's back? Mine? Keep low and stay happy.
Whoever it is took a party. They wouldn't stay around. Lights are going on in the other cottages.
You're right. Now you can get lost, Rocky, and don't come back.
You, my friend, are a real sweet pal.
What's wrong, Marcus?
Leave me out in that cactus with a dame who was in no condition to be company for me. And them coyotes howling. Well, thanks for a lovely evening.
It was fully as interesting here. Rocky had me set up for an obituary that would have blackened the family escutcheon.
Talk English. You think Rocky croaked the dame?
I don't know. Anybody could have done it. There are too many people and too many reasons. Even Robert Towner is a possibility, Sylvia's husband. He might be around someplace, but he's very unlikely.
Why?
Because he'd have no reason to be taking rifle shots at me or Rocky. I've got to find out who was behind that rifle, who they were shooting at, and why.
You know something? If we toss this crowd into a mixmaster, we could whip up a dilly of a cake.
Mark, tomorrow we start a mingle with the guests. Sooner or later, one of them will make a mistake. The next morning, a tennis match got underway, and I found myself teamed in the doubles with Fran Maitland. Our opponents were Olga and Boris Petrov.
Nice recovery, Ray.
These are tough opponents. Watch it.
Got it.
Very good, Fran.
And I get this, Ray.
Oh, that's a beautiful shot. That's a set point.
Congratulations.
You are still very good, Ray.
Well, we had a win. I don't think I could leap that net as easily as you and Boris do it.
Seems to me it's time for a little liquid refreshment. I'll go back to skeet shooting in the future. It's less strenuous.
Hey, who is that on the horse? He comes like the pictures of the Pony Express.
Buzz Westcott. Looks like there's something wrong.
Oh, boy. Oh.
You men better come help me. We've got to get a wagon.
What's happened?
That Mr. Rocker. Found him out on the range. He'd been shot.
The bullet had gone through Big Rocky's back. And if he had known who fired it, it was knowledge he'd never pass on. He was dead, but his demise filled in one bit of information. He, and not I, had been the target of the long-range rifle of the night before.
How long you reckon he's been dead, Race?
I should say since early this morning, about 5 a.m.
Anybody who's conscious at that hour deserves to be shot.
How can you say such a thing? Have you no heart?
Well, guy.
All right, Svengali, this is no place to be choosing up sides.
You fought with him yesterday, did you not, Race?
That I did, Boris, and I may fight with you today if you don't get out of the way and keep quiet. Look at this wound, Westcott.
What about it?
Entered the back between the shoulder blades and came out through the stomach. It follows a downward course.
Does that have a significance, Ray?
Yes. It means that the shot might have been fired by somebody mounted.
It might have come from the top of that hill there, too.
That's possible.
Well, here comes Ma. He must have told her at the range.
Get off the range and get back to the ranch and stay there.
Mrs. Westcott, there's no point in blaming anybody for this until we...
I ain't blaming anybody but myself, Mr. Race. I never locked this guest business, and I'm closing it down today. Now, I want everybody off the place by sundown.
Now, wait a minute. I reckon I got something to say about that.
Well, you just reckon again. This ranch is mine until I die, and I ain't close to that yet. You don't like it, you can clear off with the rest. Now, load them on the wagon and follow me.
I'll go with you, Mrs. Westcott.
I don't need an extra hand, Mr. Race. You can go back with your friends.
I don't want you to put them off the ranch just yet. If you do, the murderer may never be caught.
That's none of my affair. I ain't the sheriff.
No, but you're a suspect.
You, mind explaining that?
The shot that killed Rockland was fired from a point above and behind him. It could have been fired by a rider or from the top of a hill. It might also have been fired from a helicopter.
I'd have to have a reason, wouldn't I?
Your son might have been the reason. You told him to stay away from the guests. Sylvia Tanner fluctuated between loneliness and hysteria. Maybe Buzz was getting involved with her.
That wouldn't make me kill Mr. Rockland.
It's always easy to tie up a second murder if you have a motive for the first.
Sort of got me corralled, haven't you, Mr. Ray?
I don't like it, but that's the way it is.
All right. I'll meet you halfway. Everybody can stay for 24 hours.
Listen, Race, you're off your rocker. What do you want to go riding tonight for? You're setting yourself up like a clay pigeon.
It's the only way to play it. We haven't much time. You go into the house and just drop a hint that I've discovered something. It may force a move.
Yeah, like the move Big Rocky got. He rode out of here, too, and he come back very unhealthy.
Yes, he did, but...
What's the matter?
Rode out of here. Did he ride out? There was no horse near him, and it was too far for him to walk.
I don't get it.
He was packed out, Mark. He was killed here and carried out there. Get your flashlight out. Open that corral gate.
Yeah, yeah. Look, what are you looking for?
It's just a chance. I'll show you if I find it. One side, boy. Come here, Mark. Come here. All right, Mark. Hold the light close.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Try that room there.
Yeah, sure, but if you'd only tell me what...
Here it is. Here it is. Look.
All right, so he's got a streak of dirt on him. So what?
It isn't dirt, Marcus. It's blood, dried blood on his hide. And now I know my mistake.
What's that?
I was looking for one murderer, and there are two. Or rather, there were two.
You mean Rocky was one of them?
Yes. He killed Sylvia to keep her away from Boris. He was safe. There were other suspects with good motives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But who bumped Rocky?
We'll know within the hour. You're still going to spread a little propaganda in the ranch house.
All right, sure. Well, what do you want me to say?
Tell them that Rockland wasn't killed on the range. Tell them I'm checking the scene of the murder.
Yeah, but, Race, you don't know where...
Yes, I do. Rocky was killed in his own cottage. That explains the course of the bullet. He was in bed asleep, and the murderer fired the rifle from the window above the head of the bed.
Hey, chum, that's good arithmetic.
I'll stake myself out in his cottage. Go pass the word.
Race.
I'm here, Fran.
Couldn't we have a little light?
We don't need it, baby. It's more romantic this way. Besides, I found what I was seeking.
What did you find, Race?
I dug a rifle slug out of Rocky's mattress. It was clever of you to change the linens.
What made you suspect me?
Rocky was a rough customer. Your infatuation with Boris was wearing thin. You wanted to dump him. That didn't gel with Rocky's plan, so he made threats. But you beat him to the gung.
I'm a determined woman. You should get to know me better.
I don't think I'd get to know you for very long, though.
My divorce settlement is quite liberal, Race. I might make you forget a lot of things. Money and me. That should be a tempting combination.
Money and you are tempting. But I imagine there's a rather forbidding pistol in your hand, isn't there?
Yes. I tried to be more clever the last time. The rifle seemed to be a rather unlikely weapon for a woman to use.
Not for you, Fran. You made a mistake. You mentioned skeet shooting as one of your favorite pastimes.
Why don't you move out of the shadows, Race?
To give you a better shot?
That might make it quick and painless.
I have some bad news for you, Fran. Mark Donovan steered you here deliberately. And right at this moment, he's outside the window drawing a bead on you through the screen.
That's right, sister.
Will you... Oh, help me.
Take it easy, Fran.
I only meant to wing her.
That's all you did. She's fainted. She'll live to stand trial.
Well, you sure got that alga dame out of a pickle.
I wonder, Mark. Boris has nobody to run to now, so he'll stick to her for a while. It'll give her a chance to be miserably happy for a little longer.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But, Race, will you tell me something?
I should be delighted, old boy.
Look. Why do the nice dames always marry heels?
That is one of the mysteries of life, Mark. One of the major mysteries of life.
The Adventures of Frank Race, starring Paul Dubov with Tony Barrett as Mark Donovan, comes to you from Hollywood. Others heard in tonight's cast were Lynn Allen, Charlotte Lawrence, Alice Drake, Michael Ann Barrett, and Tom Holland. This series is written and directed by Buckley Angel and Joel Murcott. The music is composed and played by Ivan Dittmar. Be sure to be with us again this time next week for another dramatic chapter in The Adventures of Frank Race. Art Gilmore speaking. This is a Bruce Ells production.
The Adventures of Frank Race on Tuned To Yesterday, a syndicated recording from November 6th, 1949. It's an hour of adventure on Tuned To Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. We now move on to The Man Called X, Herbert Marshall's main radio vehicle, aside from his appearances on the Lux Radio Theater and Lady Esther's Screen Guild Playhouse. And although a well-known and well-versed movie actor, he had a very distinctive voice which translated well into this action-packed series. If you were a Los Angeles radio listener at the time of this broadcast on February 26, 1952, you could have heard the Detective Peter Salem on KHJ, the Hollywood Music Hall on KNX, Mr. President on ABC affiliate KECA, or this episode of The Man Called X on KFI. Settle back and enjoy now the Venezuelan Waterway Sabotage with Herbert Marshall and Leon Belasco.
Listen to Herbert Marshall as The Man Called X. Wherever there is mystery, adventure, intrigue, in all the strange and dangerous places of the world, there you will find The Man Called X. A century and a half ago, a dream was born in the mind of a man. A dream of a country where life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness were the birthright of every citizen. And on the day he was elected as his country's first president, he knew that his dream had come true. The man, Simon Bolivar. The country, Venezuela. Now, in the dining room of the Hotel Veneta in Caracas, capital of Venezuela, there sits another man with a dream. His name is Luis de la Costa, and he is telling of his hopes and his aspirations to a longtime friend.
Just think about it, Ken. Thousands of my people, their villages isolated for centuries, will at last be able to enjoy the benefits of modern civilization. Schools, hospitals, decent homes.
It's a wonderful dream, Luis.
But it's to be a reality, too. When we have completed the Bolivar Waterway.
Bolivar Waterway? Oh, you mean your old idea of opening the interior rivers to navigation.
Si, yeah. Si. By building a waterway almost 200 miles long. It's being financed by American interests who would profit handsomely from the iron ore mountains of the interior. But some country, perhaps, Ken, does not wish that ore to reach your hungry steel mills.
Having trouble on the construction, John?
Si. Breakdown of equipment, vital materials lost or stolen. A dam has suddenly collapsed. Ken, tell me, does the name Colenda mean anything to you?
Colenda, sure. Freelance international crook, specializing in sabotage. Is Colenda behind your trouble?
I have reason to think so, Ken. That's why I come to you. And the first thing that you should know is...
All right, Chris. I'll see what I can do. Mm-hmm.
But, Mr. Chief, be reasonable. You got to tell me where I can find Mr. Rex.
Zell Schmidt, the answer is no.
But he needs my invaluable services. He'll be lost without me. And besides all that...
You're broke.
Yes, no... No, no! Now, what's that got to do with it?
Hagan, this is one time you're not going to get in Ken's hair. You're not going to foul up the assignment he's working on, and you're not going to chisel him out of any more slight consideration.
Mr.
Chief... Now, get out of my office.
But...
Get out!
Okay. You think after all the years we've worked together, doing things for me.
Hello?
Hello, Chief.
Oh, Ken, glad to hear you. Glad to hear from you. How are things at wherever you are?
Oh.
What are you so happy about?
I just had a delightful little interview with Pagan Zellschmidt. Haven't enjoyed anything so much in years. But what can I do for you, Ken?
Send Pagan down here to meet me.
Sure, I'll be glad to. I'll see the... What?
I need him in Venezuela right away.
Ken, you can't do that to me. What do you want him for?
5 years ago, he was mixed up with a sabotage ring in Lisbon. Somebody named Colender was at the head of it.
But listen...
Colender's busy down here on the Bolivar waterway. I need Pagan to make a positive identification.
But Ken...
I'll talk to you later, Chief. So long.
But...
Might I trouble you for a moment?
Sure, what can I do for you?
But I'm lost without my dictionary. Positively lost. English, Spanish. Spanish, English, that is. And I must find Maria Luisa. Yes, I positively must.
Maria Luisa?
A boat, sir. Riverboat. Going up the Orinoco to the Bolivar waterway. Yes, the Bolivar. By the way, I'm Professor Harkness. Artemides Harkness. Yes, the waterway.
My name's Ken Thurston, Professor. And the boat you're looking for is right over there.
Eh? Well, thank you, Mr. Thurston. Thank you very much.
What's your interest in the waterway, Professor?
Why, the Lalea Preparata, of course, yes. The Lalea Preparata. Saprophytic, that is, you know, yes. Saprophytic.
You're looking for rare orchids.
Well, that's what I said, didn't I? Yes, I'm a botanist, you know. Yes, a botanist. Many rare specimens in the interior. Very many. Wonderful opportunity to travel by water. The Bolivar waterway, you know?
Yes, I know. Here's the Maria Luisa.
Maria Luisa? Oh, yes. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
You're looking for something, gents?
My name's Ken Thurston. This is Professor Harkness. We're looking for the skipper of this boat.
You found her, mister. So what?
I have passage. There's a ticket somewhere. I purchased it, you know.
Yeah, Professor. I already got you booked. It's this Thurston I want to know about. You interested in going upriver to the waterway?
That's right.
It'll be $50, American, cash in advance.
Sure. Be glad. Here you are.
Okay. We're shoving off in 10 minutes. Stow your duffel below.
Duffel?
Luggage, Professor.
Oh, yes, you can. Luggage. Oh, of course, yes. Luggage.
All right, Thurston, what's the pitch? What's with you in the waterway?
Well, that's pretty much my business, isn't it?
Not the way I figure.
Just how do you figure?
You're traveling light. You're no construction stiff. You're going up to the waterway, and that, to me, adds up to a snoop job of some kind. That means I got something you need.
Like what?
Insurance.
What kind?
The kind Lua Della Costa needed and didn't have.
Oh. News travels pretty fast around here, doesn't it?
We were talking about an insurance deal.
I suppose I'll think it over.
Sure. Take your time. You'll be okay till we hit the construction job.
And after that?
You name it, pal.
Yeah. Well, speaking of names...
Betty Corcoran.
Corcoran.
That's right. What did you think it was going to be, Glenda? Okay, Thurston, here's the waterway construction job. You buying that insurance?
The answer's no, Miss Corcoran.
You're a sucker.
Why?
This job's poison for people on the wrong side of the fence. But there's plenty of dough to be made on the right side.
Your side? Colender's?
You gotta pay for what I know, mister. And if you don't...
Thurston, the construction office.
Yeah. Quiet, let's have that gun. Let's have it. That's better. Now, what's going on here?
And just what business is it of yours, senor?
Let's say I'm allergic to murder.
Now, suppose you start talking.
I suppose you go to the devil, senor.
Wait a minute. Well, it's possible this American represents the financial interests behind the Bolivar waterway. Am I correct, senor?
You might call it that.
Si. I am Manuel Florio, government inspector on the waterway. My hot-headed friend here is Jose Martinez, engineer in charge of the construction.
Yeah, and this is Ken Thurston. Okay. Now, let's hear what the fireworks were about.
It's really quite simple. My friend Martinez is about to blast the passageway for the new riverbed. I expressed the opinion that he was using an excessive amount of dynamite, enough to bring the hillside down upon the cut that we have made. By way of answer, he reached for his gun.
Wait, you filthy lying dog!
Hold it, Martinez. The only thing that's important now is that waterway. Let's go down and take a look at the dynamite charges. I'll be able to tell soon enough.
Set up too soon.
See, with your heavy charge of dynamite, Martinez. And look here. Look. You can see what happened to the canal that was already built, Senor Thurston.
Completely buried.
Yeah, a couple of $1 million worth of waterway shot. Just like that. Too bad you weren't carrying any insurance, isn't it, Mr. Thurston?
We'll return to the man called X in just a moment. Answer the call. Answer the call for volunteers to help during the Red Cross fund drive. Now is the time to lend a hand to the organization which is always ready with help wherever and whenever it is needed. As a fund drive volunteer, you help to save the life of a wounded soldier through the Red Cross Blood Center. You offer comfort to a crying child, a grieving mother. A good friend, good neighbor, a citizen to be proud of. That's a Red Cross Fund campaign volunteer. Call your nearest Red Cross office and help the Red Cross give help to the helpless, hope to the hopeless, as a Red Cross Fund campaign volunteer. And now, Act Two of The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, with Leon Belasco as Pagan Zellschmidt. Louis Delacosta's dream was about to be realized. A dream of a giant waterway carrying precious iron ore from the interior of Venezuela for America's hungry steel mills and bringing schools, hospitals, homes to thousands of his people in return. And then sabotage struck the waterway. Delacosta was murdered. And now, a premature dynamite explosion has just buried an already completed canal.
Yeah, Thurston? That's what this job should have had, all right. A little insurance to take care of things like that powder blast.
You are wrong, Senorita Corcoran. What this waterway needs is guns to protect it from its enemies.
Or perhaps, Martinez, it needs engineers who will listen to advice regarding an excessive amount of dynamite.
That kind of talk won't get us anywhere, Florio. Martinez, the damage is done. Suppose you check, see how bad it is, see what could be done to rectify it.
I already know the answer to that, senor. But you have taken my gun away from me.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm afraid our construction engineer is too hot-headed and impulsive for his own good.
It's a cinch he's got blood in his eye when he looks at you, Florio.
Maybe he doesn't like the idea of being blamed for that premature blast. Maybe he figures somebody else is responsible.
And just who would that somebody else be, Senor Thurston?
It's your question. Got an answer?
If you will excuse me, I shall check upon the damage with Martinez. But a word of advice first, if you do not mind.
No, go right ahead.
The construction of a waterway such as this is best left in the hands of experts. Amateurs are prone to run into accidents, senor. Possibly even fatal ones. Hasta luego, senor.
Hello?
Hello. Is this the waterway construction outfit?
Pagan.
That's right. Pagan Zellschmidt. I'd like to talk to... Oh, hello, Mr. Thurston. How's everything going there with it? Waterways and bolivars and stuff?
What the devil's been keeping you? Why aren't you here?
Sunburn.
Sunburn?
Sure. Boy, that sun's plenty hot here on the beaches.
There are no beaches in Caracas.
That's right. But you ought to see this one here in Miami.
Miami.
Well, I had a little trouble in the plane, you understand. And by the time I got through explaining to those police characters about that poor, lonely little stewardess, well, the plane for Venezuela had already left.
Pagan, so help me, if you don't get another plane out of there right away...
Oh, don't worry about the thing, Mr. X. I'll be there in plenty of time to put the fingers on that calendar characters for a slight consideration, of course.
Is over onto the other side of the hill. See, that is correct. Run your lines over there. Ain't seen you that.
Looks like you're shifting the base of operations, Martinez. Mind telling me why?
Senor Thurston, the accident last night was not as damaging as we feared. It will be possible to reroute the channels, and a simple blasting operation will do it.
Like the last one?
Senor, I agree that the blast was much greater than it should have been. But the extra dynamite was not placed there by me, nor did it come from our powder house.
What makes you think that?
Because there is a sulfur mine operating back in those hills. Early this morning, I found over 50 empty dynamite boxes near that mine. They still had yellow sulfur dust on them.
Anything else?
Only this. I understand the controlling interest in that sulfur mine is held by Senorita Betty Corcoran.
Thurston, just one moment, please. Just one moment. Well, I thought I'd never find you. Never.
Oh, Professor, what's on your mind?
Miss Corcoran, that is, she asked me to give you a message.
Oh,
yes, a message.
What is it?
Well, she would like to see you, I believe. It was about... Oh, those boxes. Oh, my, there are lots of them. What are they, Mr. Thurston?
Empty dynamite cases.
Dynamite? Are they real? Well, imagine that. Empty dynamite case? Well.
No, no, no. Look, the message, Professor, from Betty Corcoran.
Oh, yes, Miss Corcoran. Well, she wanted to see you about dynamite and a man named... Oh, dear, no, what was that name again?
Colinda?
Yes, that's it, Colinda. She's waiting for you now, Mr. Thurston, at the sulfur mine.
Betty Corcoran, are you in here? Funny. I thought I saw something move in it. Well, Betty, is that you over...
Oh.
Are you feeling better now, Senor Thurston?
What? Who, Oh, Florio.
See, that's quite correct.
What are you doing here? Why do you make a habit of dropping into sulfur mines at odd hours?
Professor Harkness informed me as to where I might find you.
Before or after I came into this mine?
I'm not quite certain I understand your meaning.
Somebody hit me, Florio. Right now it looks like a toss-up between you and Betty Corcoran.
It was neither of us, Senor.
What makes you so sure?
Because when I entered the mine, you were already unconscious. And I am certain that you cannot doubt Senorita Corcoran's alibi.
Why not?
Here, I show you. There, Senor.
Oh.
See? As you can see, she's quite dead.
Senorita Corcoran is dead.
That's right, Martinez. Murdered.
And now I suppose the work on the Bolivar waterway will come to a halt until her murder is solved.
See, Martinez. I have placed a telephone call to the authorities in Caracas. Meanwhile, all work on the project will cease.
Of course. You could not afford to wait another 24 hours.
For then we will be ready to blast open the new riverbed, and the Bolivar waterway will be finished.
I'll get it. Well?
Hello, Mr. Thurston. This is Pagan Zellschmidt. Guess who?
Where are you calling from now?
That's right, Mr. Thurston. I'm calling all right from Trinidad.
Trinidad?
Well, the aeroplane lost a couple of wheels or something, and I got all grounded up here.
Hurry up, Pagan, darling. Carmen wishes to talk.
Oh, sure, baby, sure.
Pagan, you've got just 24 hours to get up here. And so help me if you're even one second late.
Mr. Thurston, if there's one thing you can always depend on, you can always depend on a salesman.
Keeping busy, Martinez?
Oh, Senor Thurston.
Looks like you're figuring on setting off a dynamite blast all by yourself.
The 24 hours is up, and I intend to see that the Bolivar waterway is completed tonight.
Pretty risky, isn't it?
What risk, Senor? I detonate the explosive, and the river rushes into its new channel. Then there will be nothing that Florio can do.
Yeah, if it works out.
And why should it not?
I just found 30 more dynamite cases from the sulfur mine lying over the hill. Empty.
About to have a repeat performance of the last explosion, Senor.
That's right, Florio. It's set to go off 10 minutes from now. Only this time without the extra dynamite.
I tell you, I know nothing about that sulfur mine dynamite.
Yes, but I saw the empty boxes too, Mr. Martinez. Mr. Thurston showed them to me, so I'm a witness. Yes, I'm a witness. But for the life of me, I do not know what this is all about, Mr. Thurston.
It's simple, Professor. A man named Dada Costa had a dream about this waterway. It will bring a new way of life to the people in the Venezuelan hills. And iron ore for steel mills in the United States.
Yes, but what has all this to do with sulfur mines and dynamite?
Somebody's been sabotaging the waterway to keep that iron ore from leaving here. And using the sulfur mine dynamite to do it. A man by the name of Colenda.
Colenda?
Oh, yes, of course. The man Miss Corcoran. The one she... Well, before she was... Yes, Colenda.
And just who is this Colenda, senor?
Have you got a silver coin, Florio? A bolivar or a peso?
Why, sí, I have one. Here.
Thanks. What about you, Martinez? And Professor Harkness?
Sí, if you wish.
Here you are, Mr. Thurston. But I would like it back. My pension. It's not very large, you know. Yes, not very large.
You'll get it back, Professor. These coins are all I need to tell me which one of you is Colenda.
What do you mean?
Colenda used dynamite from that sulfur mine. There was plenty of yellow sulfur dust on the empty boxes. Plenty more in the mine itself. He must have been covered with the stuff by the time he got through.
But that means nothing. There is no sulfur dust on any of us. It can easily be washed out of clothing and off the skin.
That is right, Martinez. But it can't be washed off silver.
Silver? Of course. The chemical action of silver would leave a black coating. It would be... Thurston, look. Look, one of those coins.
Sure. This one.
Black.
Yeah. Colenda gave it to me, didn't you? Professor Harkness.
Hello, Mr. Thurston.
Pagan.
You don't have to worry about a thing.
Get away from there, you idiot.
But this character I'm standing between is Colenda. He's the one who...
Oh, thank you, salesman, for getting in front of me.
But...
Adios, gentlemen.
Hey, what's going on here anyways? What happened?
Get away from that door.
That's locked. The window, Florio. There he goes, into the speedboat at the dock.
Oh, it's no use, Martinez. He's getting away.
I don't think so, Florio.
But you can see for yourself. He's already going downriver. Approaching the new channel where the new waterway will...
Mr. Thurston, that boat. Colenda. Where they were. There's nothing. Nothing but...
Yeah. That's right, Pagan.
Hey, that noise. What is it?
Well, you might call it the beginning of the Bolivar waterway. But somehow I'd like to think of it as a dream coming true.
Here again is our star, Mr. Herbert Marshall.
Thanks for being with us. And my thanks to Gloria Blondell, Will Wright, Paul Richards, Howard McNear, and Tony Barrett. Next week, the icy wasteland of Alaska, where a deserted weather station holds the answers to a missing top-secret weapon. A man who dies twice. And one of the most unmitigated scoundrels to ever... Yes, that's right. That reminds me. Leon Belasco will be along as usual as Pagan Zelschmidt. So join us, won't you, when next I return as the man called X. Good night.
The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, is a J. Richard Kennedy production with music by Milton Charles. Tonight's story was written by Sidney Marshall. This program is directed by Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents on this program are fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Now, until next week, same time and station, this is Hal Gibney saying goodnight for The Man Called X. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Man Called X, on Tuned to Yesterday from February 26th, 1952 on NBC. That wraps this hour of adventure. On Tuned to Yesterday, be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.